Rough sleepers watched their dogs by night, or seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. Not said he, for mighty dread had seized their troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you in David, down this day is born of David's line, the Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be his sign.
I've just come from meeting somebody, and I've got to tell everybody, 'cause it's good news and it's for everybody. A tent in an underpass, covered with rags. This is good news, wrapped up in a sleeping bag.
All glory to be God on high, and on the earth be peace. Goodwill henceforth from heaven to all begin and never cease. The Savior who is Christ the Lord, the love of God displayed, all wrapped up in a sleeping bag and in a tent.
Look, I'm not talking bull, but do yourself a favour. Don't just take the word of this rough sleeping stranger. See for yourself. Come and meet the Saviour.
The Saviour who is Christ the Lord, the love of God displayed.
Of the birth of Jesus is first told to the shepherds. They're the ones who receive the news of Jesus' birth. They're the ones who are entrusted with this incredible piece of news. The poorest of the poor, looking after other people's sheep. And the shepherds, of course, as Luke reminds us, rush off to see him. You know, this is a significant part of the story. It's so easy to miss it in the array of tea towels that people tend to wear on their heads depicting the shepherds, or dressing gowns that they tend to wear. But this is significant. In the divine order of things, God is saying something so important that we daren't miss it this year in any other year, that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And God announces his arrival first to the big issue vendors, the good news sellers, people who we often don't see or people who we often walk past, to those lacking the margins that they need to soften life's blows when it comes to difficulties in their lives. But this is a reminder, every year this story is a reminder, that the invitation to receive this gift is given to all people. No one is excluded from it, and given to us in a language that we can understand. To the shepherds in their poverty and their simplicity, but also to the magi in their science and their sophistication. And although the shepherds and the magi arrived at different times, possibly even a couple of years apart, and probably in very different places, Somehow the shepherd poor and the rich wise men are all right next to each other in every church and every school nativity scene that you will ever find. It's heartwarming, isn't it? To see that contrast so vividly displayed for us every single year. This implausible picture of equality and inclusion that this story encapsulates so vividly. And of course, the two belong together, don't they? That's what the Christmas story insists upon, that everyone is welcome to see Jesus, to discover the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because this good news is announced for all people. It's intriguing, isn't it, how the magi, astrologers perhaps, magician kings, how they follow the intricacies and the incredible pathway of a star. And when it stops, they find a place of poverty. And the one who would point the way for countless people in countless generations to follow, that having followed a star, he would soon declare himself to be the light of the world. And many would follow him and find life in all its fullness. But the shepherds, they find a baby who was later to declare himself the good shepherd, surrounded by animals, laid in a manger, a familiar place for those who have spent their lives out in the fields at night, longing for welcome and acceptance, to become part of the community, part of the story that God was writing. And in that place, they find security and hope for their own lives. And whilst the magi bring gold to indicate their wealth, and incense to indicate their political power, and myrrh to indicate their scientific prowess, the shepherds bring only themselves. And yet somehow that is enough. To just come on their own and kneel before this baby born to be king. Having encountered this greatest gift, they understood that this was something they couldn't keep to themselves, that they had to go straight away and tell this good news to the poor and to the rich, to those who feel included and those who are excluded and marginalized, to those who have power and to those who feel powerless. To invite everyone to go and see this thing that God has done. And the shepherds and the kings, they let go of what forms their identity. And they make their journeys and put down who they are, leaving their sheep, leaving their wealth, and place themselves kneeling before the baby, the gift that God has given. And so right at the heart of the reality of this story, right at the heart of the revelation of God's love to all people, in the middle of the manger, lies the gift that we all need, the gift itself. And the shepherds and the kings have understood that and responded to it. The shepherds, they're told where to find Jesus, and they respond by saying, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that we've been told about." And the Bible says they hurried there. They couldn't wait to get there. The magi, they seemed a bit more confused as to where Jesus was going to be born. And in fact, Matthew in his gospel tells us that they turned up at King Herod's palace, thinking that a king would be born in a palace, of course. Who wouldn't think that? And they said to King Herod, "So, King Herod, where is the one who's born to been born king of the Jews?" The most provocative question that you could ever ask King Herod, because he thought he was king of the Jews. Well, King Herod hadn't a clue, and so he asked the chief priests and the teachers of the law. He says to them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" And all along they knew the answer. "In Bethlehem," they said. But sadly, the people who knew in advance, they're the ones who failed to go there to see the king being born. And Herod missed out. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law missed out. And yet the Magi and the shepherds responded to the good news and gave themselves to be part of this story. See, when you realize that you've got a need, when you realize that you're in need of a savior, when you realize you're in need of direction and hope and future, then you will respond and go to the place where God has given this greatest gift, that you will go and see and find the gift of love that God has wrapped up for all of us. That's where meaning is found. That's where life is found. That's where hope is found. That's where future is found. That's where life in all its fullness is found. As we get up off our knees and we live a life where Jesus is part of it, part of our everyday story, when we find meaning in the manger and then find the message in the middle of the mess that is there. Jesus came for people like shepherds and kings, but he also came for you and me as well, and invites us to respond to his invitation like a shepherd, like a king, to put down what we cling hold of so tightly and just simply offer ourselves in worship to him. So no matter whether you think you're a nobody, whether you don't feel welcome, you don't feel included, or whether you find yourself as a king with all the trappings of wealth and favor and advantage, Jesus invites us to come to worship him and to find life and meaning and hope and future. After the shepherds and the kings had fallen down on their knees before him, they got up and they lived out the story and found the truth that God had placed before them and invited them to understand and to build the rest of their lives on. Paul writes this about Jesus in one of his letters, in the letter to the Philippians, because he sort of understood. He wasn't there in the stable, but he was a later follower of Jesus, and he seemed to get what this was all about. He said, Jesus, though he was God, did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So let's head to the stable, shall we? Because that's where this story of this incredible king began. And it's where you can find hope today and every day. No gifts needed. Just bring yourself, and the King of Kings will welcome you, and you can become part of his family and part of the story that God is still writing in the lives of people like you and like me who have a hope wrapped up in him. This is good news of great joy for all people if we'll choose Jesus as King and come humbly as a shepherd in awe and wonder, as eager as a king, and give ourselves to him today. We're going to sing together, in the bleak midwinter, what can I give him, poor as I am? Well, let's make our response as we sing these words together. We're just going to give ourselves. So if you're able to stand, let's sing these words and let's make these our hope and prayer for ourselves and for our world today. Thank you. Thank you. you please be seated? A few years after Jesus was born, John, one of his followers, who had been an eyewitness to the life of Jesus, he was able to write these words and declare this truth for himself and, I think, for us. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, shepherds and kings and Mary and Joseph, to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or pain or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we've seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. And it's this that is good news for all people. For shepherds and kings, for Roman oppressors, for faithful and the faithless, for every age group, every person, in every situation, for today and for eternity. So we go, invited to go and worship him. And as we do, to get up off our knees and to return giving glory and praise to God the Father, because his gift, beyond words, is to us and for us each day. Let's pray together. Father God, I pray that for each one of us, that we will encounter you through this incredible story, that we will find our place in the lines that you have been writing for us, and we will know that we are welcome to come and worship the newborn King. We come and bring ourselves to you, offer what we have to you, and thank you that in your kingdom that is always enough. May you come and fill our hearts with joy. May we too rejoice with all those who rejoice at the good news of your coming. And may we be able to share this good news of great joy so that others might know that they're included. Thank you that you took down the barrier that separates us from God. You invited us in. And so tonight we accept that invitation. And we come and worship you. Thank you, Father. May this Christmas be filled with your presence and with your power at work in us. Thank you that you welcome us today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.